Somebody ought to say amen.
Amen.
Somebody ought to say amen again.
Amen.
Are you glad that even through the pain, the hurt, the heartache, that you still have something on the inside?
Yes.
See, unless you have something on the inside from above, you will never be able to conquer what is around you. And whatever the devil tries to do, don't ever let him steal your joy. In other words, say, I never lost my, come on and say it out there, I never lost my praise. Let's give God the glory for the choir and the praise team. Come on, we can do better than that. Come on, we can do better than that. We can do better than that. Oh, what a mighty God we serve. Are you glad to be here today? Somebody ought to shout out, I'm blessed. Matter of fact, I'm too blessed to be stressed. Come on and say it. Amen, amen, amen. Father God, in the name that is above every name, we declare that at that name every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that you are King of kings and Lord of lords. Now we're asking that you would just take us, break us if you must, but with your divine and loving hands, put us back together again. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for allowing us to be in the house one more time.
Yeah.
We don't deserve so much from you, but Lord, your mercy and your grace allowed us to come together one more time. And so, Lord, Lord, we sacrifice and we give you the best praise of our lips. And so, Lord, we're going to ask that you would just take us and surround us and fill us once again with your precious Holy Ghost. And I'm asking that you would be with my mind, and Lord, just be with my heart, Lord, and then speak with my mouth, and just stand in my body, and let a revival break forth in your house today. And Lord, we need you so much, Lord. If we ever needed the Lord before, we need you right now. And so we claim that in the name of Jesus right now. In Jesus' name. If you love him, shout amen.
Amen.
Shout glory.
Glory.
Shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
If you know he's worthy, shout out,
thank you, Jesus.
Amen. 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 I thank God for the wonderful privilege it has been to be in the presence of the Lord in his house on the Sabbath day. I'm always excited whenever I see people of God accept him into their heart and to their minds and to their lives. And I just want to thank God once again for the baptism that has gone on today and for what God has done in the lives of the people and for our commitment to just be with them every step of the way. Let's give God the glory for the baptismal candidate today. You made the greatest decision that you could ever make, being on the side of Jesus Christ. I thank God for my partner in ministry and the man of God that has been called to lead this congregation for this season, Pastor Stephen Mackey. We're so grateful for you and for your willingness just to be a part of God's team. I thank you so much for this precious invitation and for your friendship and for your precious wife, Linda, who led so beautifully the choir once again. Amen. Such a talented and such an inspirational woman of God and minister in her own right. Great Bible worker. I just want you to know that God has brought this team for this season. This team that grew up here in part. But I want you, God prepared them for this moment. And I believe that the best days of Southeast is yet to come. Somebody ought to say amen out there. And so I'm asking that you would pray with them and for them as they lead this congregation and to move them to the great, great vistas of tomorrow. And I thank God for them. Now, I know many of you knew Pastor Mackey when he was young, growing up, and I thank God for the knowledge of all of us when we were young, but he is no longer a young man in that way. Somebody ought to say amen out there. Now, he still looks young. Come on and say amen out there. But he's full grown. I said he's full grown. Come on and say amen. But he's full grown not only in age, but God has prepared him specifically for this time. And although you perhaps have known him and known about him and raised him in the past, he is now the leader of the house. I'll say that again. He is now the leader of the house. I said he is the leader appointed and anointed of the house. And when you recognize that, you have to give him all of the deference that a man or a woman of God, somebody ought to say amen out there. And when you do that, you have to respect. And I thank God for this great church who recognizes what season that you're in. Amen. And that season is to be under a great man of God. And I want you to love him and to follow him as he follows Christ. Yes. And I want you to know he has a vision for this house. Yes. Every time I talk with him, he is so excited for the wonderful vision that God has placed in his heart, that he is placing it on the hearts of the people. So love him, respect him, and make sure you surround him every day with the prayers so that it will give him the energy and the synergy from heaven to do God's will. And so I just wanted to celebrate what God is doing with and in the man of God. And if you can just celebrate by a big hand clap, the loving Pastor Stephen. Come on, we can do better than that. Come on. Do you love it? Do you love it? Somebody shout, I love you, Pastor Matthew. Amen, amen, amen. God, thank God for Pastor Matthew. I thank God for the honor it is just to be here once again. I travel extensively, but I look forward to this day just to be with him and for this congregation. I thank God for you showing kindness to my wife and I when we got to our hotel last night. Everything was in place. He had a big, nice basket there of fruit and goodies and exquisite water. It looked so good, I didn't even want to drink it. Come on and say it out there. And it was just in place. It was in order. And I just thank you for being kind and showing kindness to my wife. And it was a special weekend for my wife and I, who this year we're going to celebrate 30 years. Come on and say amen out there. But it's a special weekend because on yesterday, my wife just finished. I'm talking about blood, sweat, and tears. Just finished her MBA, her Master's of Business Administration. And so this is the first Sabbath of her MBA. Come on and say amen out there. And so she's a graduate. So we're proud of her accomplishment. I thank God that God, during this rough season, because a few months ago, she just lost her mom, and we just buried her and eulogized her, and it was a tough time. But she pressed on, and I just thank God for the victory in graduation. So anytime anybody goes through some academic challenges, you want to celebrate, whether they're young or old, and I just thank God for you. As we said last night, if it's not in the Word, it doesn't deserve to be heard. But if it's in the book, we're going to take a look. Come on and say amen. I entreated you that every time you get into the house of God, you always want to bring the Word of God. Because anytime we open up the Word of God, God is literally opening up his mouth. So he's speaking. The Word of God is God speaking to us. And so I want to ask that you lift up your Word of God again. I know the hour is late, but you already got me here, so I'm going to go ahead and preach. Come on and say it out there. Come on, shake your Word. Come on, shake it. Matter of fact, stand to your feet. Everybody needs to just get little. Stand and shake your Word. Come on, shake it. Put on a mean face. We're getting ready to do war with the enemy. We're getting ready to do battle with the devil. Is that all right? Now say after me, say, devil.
Devil.
Oh, come on, you act like hell has been air conditioned. Come on, say devil.
Devil.
Get sassy, say devil.
Devil.
Come on, shake it, say
you have no business
in this place. This is God's house. We are God's people. And this is God's word. So devil, get out of here. Devil, get out of here. Devil, get out of here. Because the Holy Ghost is in the house. If you feel the Holy Ghost, shout amen. And I saw a devil leave that door. Come on and say amen there. He's gone. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Amen. 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 Last night we got serious about finding your tree. And in 1 Kings, the 18th chapter, you want to turn there. It has already been so beautifully read by the first elder of this church. In verse 20 it says, so Ahab sent for all the children of Israel and gathered the prophets together on Mount Carmel. And Elijah came to all the people and said, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. Somebody shout out, follow him. Wow. But if Baal, follow him. But the people answered not a word. Let's get serious today about making up your mind. It's about making the choice. Father, bless your word in Jesus' name. Amen. Most of you who are part, I want you to follow me because I'm going so far, part of the body of Christ and have been part of the body of Christ, you know this story in Scripture. You recognize that it is a story that that ends in a dramatic fashion with the fire of God falling down. You recognize that it was Elijah the prophet, filled with the Holy Ghost, boldly proclaiming that as for him, he was going to stand if he had to stand alone for God. You have to understand that when he gets up on the mountain, he clears his throat, and it says all the people of God were on that mountain, and all the people of Baal were on that mountain, and they were one conglomerate group, and he gives and issues a clear choice.
That's right.
He says, all y'all, make up your mind. Somebody shout out, make up your mind. He says, now, if God be God, I want you to get this, then follow him. He says, if Baal be God, then follow him. And you know the story. He issues a challenge, and he issues a challenge. He says, now, all of you who's on Baal's side, I want you to build an altar. And then I'm going to ask that you call on your God. And then after that, I'm going to build my altar, and I'm going to call on my God.
Amen.
And we're going to make some rules that the God who answers by fire, let us all declare that he is the God. That he is the Lord. In other words, that he is the true and living God. Everybody says, all right, that sounds good. And you know the end of the story, that they went and they built their altar, and they built their altar, and they called on their God, and nothing happened. And then Elijah came, and he prayed, and he built the altar. And when he prayed, and he built the altar, and he called on the name of the Lord, the Bible says when everything was in order, the fire fell. And when the fire fell, the people fell on their faces. And there was a declaration, the Lord, he is God. Everybody knows that story. Now I recognize that as you know that story, many of us have become familiar, but you have to understand that there is another significant twist to this story, because I want to ask the question, what happens before the fire falls? Because I declare, watch this, after the enemy has shot his Elijah issues a challenge. Watch this. How long halt ye between two opinions? Now, I want you to understand that there are two words here, halt and opinion. Now watch this. When I looked at that word halt in Hebrew, the word halt, really follow me here. It means to limp. It means to hobble. It means to dance. Halt. To dance. It's a Hebrew word that literally means, here it is, to limp, to hobble, or to dance. Now that word opinion comes from that root word pinion, which is connected to the concept of bent knees. Okay? So to dance with bent knees. Now you gotta get this. When you put those words together, hope and opinion, I began to ask the Holy Ghost to give me the meaning of the words when you put those concepts, those words together. Several concepts emerge, hope and opinion. Watch this, here it is. The first concept is, it gives you a picture of a person who is limping, watch this, because of sore knees. So much so, the knees are so sore and they're limping, so much so that they use a crutch. It gives a picture of a person who's limping because of their sore knees, so much so that they live their life moving and shifting their weight from one crutch to another crutch. You better get this here, huh? So the first concept is of halt and opinion is one who is limping because of sore knees, and it's so sore as they are walking along and limping along that they use one crutch and then another crutch. The second idea, watch this, of this, when you put the word halt and opinion together, watch this, is a person who is hobbling along, limping along, and I really want you to get this. They come to a fork in a road. They get to a fork in a road, and they see one way to lead this way, and then the next way it leads that way. And so they said, "Well, let me make up in my mind." And so they go this way for a while, and they take a few steps and say, "I really don't know if I should go that way." And so they get back to the fork of the road. They say, "Well, I'm gonna go this way for a little while." And then they say, "I really don't want to go that way." They go back to the fork of the road. They say, "I'm gonna go this way for a while." And then they take a few more steps. They go back to the fork of the road. In other words, it gives a concept. It conjures up a scenario. Watch this. Of a person who cannot make a choice, a person who cannot make a decision. Because they go this way for a while, and then they go that way for a while. A person who is limping comes to a fork in a road, and they go this way and that way. A person who is double-minded, a person who cannot make up their mind. Now, I told you, watch this, that word halt literally means to dance. Now some of you, you say, well, what kind of dance you're talking about? I'm not talking about a dance or twerking. Come on and say amen out there. I'm not talking about none of that dance. No. I'm talking about a holy dance. Somebody shout out, holy dance. Now, halting, watch this. What was a dance, watch this, that was used in ancient Hebraic religious services. Back in the day, matter of fact, Mrs. White even gives an inference in the Desired Ages of priests who were dancing at the time of the atonement. They had a particular kind of dance where priests literally, lock arms, and they would lock arms after they literally had seen the hand of God work on and in behalf of the people of God. They would celebrate doing a holy dance, and they would lock arms, and they would start bending their knees, and then they would lift up, and they would go down, and they lift up a little bit more, and they would praise God. They would just go back and forth, back and forth. They were halting. They doing the halt. Come on and say amen. See, y'all need to learn how to do the halt, a holy dance. Okay. Now watch this. It was a kind of dance that was often used in ancient Hebraic religious services. And it started from a squatted, knee-bent position. Now follow me, because I am going to where the Bible says, watch this, that Elijah says, how long, watch this, halt ye, remember halt means the dance, between two opinions. He says, now, if God is God, then worship him with all of your life. If Baal, if he really is God, then you worship him. And the people, the Bible says, answered not a word. Now, when I looked at this, I said, wow. You know what Elijah was really saying? Watch this. He said, everybody up on this mountain, listen. He is saying, how long will you keep dancing between God and the enemy? Elijah says, hey, everybody up on this mountain, all I'm seeing is some double-minded people because you are keeping switching partners. Now, today you may not shout, but you want to get some help today. Come on and say it out there. How long are you going to keep dancing and switching partners? What happens before the fire falls? Number one, you better get this. The first thing that will happen, we're going to get some revival. I believe we're going to get some revival in the house. So the Holy Ghost is going to fall up in here today. The first thing, watch this, before the fire falls, is that I learned that Satan will share you. Y'all ain't getting this yet, huh? Yeah, he will share you. Now, the implication of this text is not of a person or of people who have definitively made up their mind to be on one side or the other side. Now, the text literally says, watch this, that everybody who was supposed to be on God's side and everybody who was on the enemy's side or Baal's side, everybody came up on that one mountain. But you have to understand that the implication of the text is not of a people who have made up a definitive mind or decision to be on one side or the other side. Watch this. But it gives a picture of a people or of a person who keeps going back and forth. In fact, I learned that this Jewish phrase led to the English idiomatic expression, sitting on the fence. How long halt you between two opinions? In other words, it gives a picture of a person who can't make a choice, a person who is wishy-washy, a person who is double-minded, a person who is, watch this, flaky, a person who is shady, a person who one way is this way, on Monday they're one way, on Tuesday they're the next way. How long, he says, will you keep going back and forth? Why? Watch this. The devil, somebody needs to get this. The devil will share you. Did you know the devil does not have to have all of you? Did you know that the devil can handle it if you share your life between God and him? See, somebody needs to hear this. You're going to learn something about me that if you don't say amen, if you got that glassy look in your eyes, see, I'm a teacher. I am a professor. And so the Bible, one of the things about a professor, I always want to teach and share concepts to make sure that you understand what the word says. Yes. But when you have that glassy-eyed look and you act like you don't understand, what you did was add 10 more minutes to the message. Come on and say that. Because I'm going to keep on until you get it. Come on and say that. So y'all ain't got it yet. So turn with me to Exodus, the 34th chapter. Exodus, because you're going to get this thing. Exodus. Now, if you really get something, you're going to learn how to say amen loud and say, oh, preacher, I got it. Amen. But if you're quieter than a church house mouse, 10 more minutes. Come on and say amen out there. Exodus, the 34th chapter. Now watch this. Here it is. I said the devil, he is satisfied with sharing you. Exodus 34. Let's look at something. Here it is. Verse 14. For you shall worship no other God, for the Lord, whose name is jealous, is a jealous God, lest you make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land, and they go, here's King James says, and they go a-whoring, or they play the harlot, they go a-whoring with the gods and make sacrifices to their gods. And one of them invites you and eat of his sacrifice, and you take of his daughter for your sons, and the daughters play the harlot or go a-whoring with their gods and make your sons play the harlot with their gods. Now watch this. I declare that the fire cannot fall when you are being shared between God and the enemy. Now, this is what God is saying in this text, Exodus 34. Here's the idea. He says, now, people of God, my people, he says, all my people who are claiming my name, he says, now, be careful, because when you go into the land that I have promised you, he says, be careful when you get in there that you do not begin an illicit affair with the gods of that land. Now, he is speaking metaphorically when he speaks of this dualistic relationship when he says, now don't go over there and go a-whoring. Don't go over there and act like no whore. Ooh, did you hear what Dr. Peter said? I said, the Bible says, they said, a-whoring. Now, one of the characteristics of a whore, male or female, you know there's a male whore, some of his name out there. One of the characteristics of a whore is that a whore, a true shown up whore, does not want all of your time. Come on, you better get this here, huh? Did you know that a whore has no problem sharing you? Now, I'm trying to help somebody. Now, notice the metaphor that God uses in Exodus the 34th chapter. Now, don't miss the meaning because of the sensational nature of the text. Y'all, you know you like sensationalism. You like watching Scandal, and you like watching Being Mary Jane, and the have. Come on and say now, man. No, get in the church and say, what is he talking about? You know exactly what I'm talking about. Don't miss the meaning because of the sensational nature of the text. Get the meaning that God is saying. He says, now look out, y'all, because when you get into the land, don't make sure that you don't go a-whoring after other gods. Why? Because other gods, they don't want all of you. They don't want all of your time. They are comfortable with sharing you. Don't get so turned off that you'll miss the essence of the word. It is very important because I believe right now in this house that God is trying to set this house in order. God is trying to set the pattern straight. God is trying to get the house cleaned up so that his glory and his presence and his power and his fire can fall in the midst. Somebody ought to say that. He says, make up your mind.
Yes, sir.
It's time to get serious about this thing. Not yet. I'm an old preacher now. But we'll get there. Come on and say that. You're going to try to preach me to fool to death. Come on and say that out there. All right. I remember when I was in high school, and I see y'all love to hear me confess. But look at that. You going to tell one of yours? Come on and say that out there. I was in high school, Pastor, and I snuck off to a dance. In other words, my parents did not allow me to go because they had standards. Y'all do have some standards, come on and say it. It was wrong for me to go, but I snuck off to a dance. Because I had my boys in the high school I went to, I had those friends, and then I had my church friends. And so I snuck off to a dance. See, parents, don't cave in to your children. Children's going to get to do, and they're going to choose to do what they're going to do anyway, but still have your standards. Come on and say amen. This is an Adventist church, ain't it? So I snuck off to a dance, and I was with my boys, Ronald and Michael Mason and Stephen Dow and all of them. We got there, and the smoothest one he thought of our group was, kind of looked like you. You weren't there. You weren't there, but kind of looked like you. He was about your size. Had dimples. Come on, his name out there. He had wavy hair like saying. Well, you didn't have that, but had one of those smiles and this guy, his name was Pierre, and Pierre. He got there, we all got there, and it was at the gym at the high school. It was on a Saturday night, and we slipped on in, and Pierre, he was the Mac Daddy of the group. He felt he had all of the girls liking him and all this kind of stuff. And he says, fellas, I'm gonna do something that I've never done before. He goes, at least, not at a place like this. And he goes, I'm gonna have two of my girls at the same party. And we said, man, you crazy, man, you wanna die. Man, these sisters are crazy out here. And he says, nah. He goes, you gotta know how to play it just right. And so I just sat up, I just leaned up against the wall because I wasn't see drama that night. And so he had one to go in a little bit early and to go to the opposite end. And said, I'm going to come in. He told her he's going to come in a little late, and he's going to meet her on the opposite end of the park. So it was dark, and lights were low, and so forth. And then he came in with the first one. He came in with the first one, and he stayed on this side. And so he, did the first couple dances, and I was just standing on the wall. I said, uh-oh, drama's going to hit the fan today. And so he was dancing and did his little cool dance, and he was just doing his thing, and he did dance two times. And then at the end of his second dance, watch this, he looked over at me, kind of winked at me, and said, watch how I play this thing. He says, do you want me to go get you some punch? And she said, yeah. And that was his opportunity to go to the other side to meet up with this other one. And he may have gotten away with it, but when he came back, he forgot the punch. Somebody ought to say amen. See, while he was away on the opposite end, watch this, he was dancing with the other girlfriend, watch this, and when he got back, he forgot to have the punch. And the other girl was very suspicious. And she was like, what took you so long? And she said, I hope you ain't over there trying to play me. And you know how sisters get, they got that one hand on that hip and that neck was swinging. And she said, I'll knock the black off of you. Don't you ever play me. And all that kind of stuff. And she was just getting ready to haul back and slap him. And then she said, she goes, oh, you're playing me. She goes, what kind of cologne? What kind of cologne are you wearing? See, what had happened was when he was dancing dancing on the other side with the other woman. Or he danced real close, and girlfriend on the other side, cologne got all in his clothes. Now watch this. Pierre had been dancing with two folks, but what gave him away was that he smelled like somebody else. See, some of you come before the presence of God every Sabbath morning, and you're lifting up holy hands, singing songs of Zion, yet you have spent all week long dancing with the enemy. And no matter how you try to cover it up, you smell. There is an unrighteous odor that is giving you away. How long will you keep dancing between somebody ought to say now and then? See, the devil wants to share you.
Yeah.
Did you know that the devil is not impressed because you come to church? That you have an office? The devil's not impressed just because you sing on the praise team or in the choir, or because you have a deacon role, or because you are an elder, or because you are an usher. See, the devil's not impressed because you know the 23rd Psalm. Several reasons. Well, he or she got to go home sometime.
Yes, yes.
They'll be back. See, the devil was there. He was there. He was there when you said yes to the master. He was there when you got baptized. He knows that you are supposed to be married to God and wearing the name of God. He doesn't care if you go home sometime. Because the enemy knows, watch this, he knows that any time dedicated to him means he got you. So he knows he can't have all your time. So he makes himself oftentimes satisfied with just sharing. But God, on the other hand, cannot handle that. The Bible says that the Lord's name is jealous. He said, I'm a jealous God. I want all of you. If we're supposed to be married, I want all of you. This is not a package deal. So he says, when you go into the land, don't you go and get into an illicit relationship with other gods. Elijah calls it halting or dancing with the enemy, caught between two paths, a nature that cannot decide. And I declare to my friends here in Bakersfield that you will never know the glory of God in your life while you are dancing with two different partners. You will never establish a solid relationship with Christ. You will never go from glory to glory to glory. You will never increase in your faith. You will never grow in your love for Jesus. You will never see the fire of God fall in your life if you don't decide today to stop dancing with two different partners. It's tight, but it's right. Come on and say amen. That's why the Lord's not, the devil is really not impressed when you come to a revival and even pray for 10 days. Because the devil says, well, that's God's time.
Mercy.
I ain't mad at you. I ain't jealous. But the prophet is saying today, how long will you keep dancing between two different partners? How long will you keep giving the enemy your time? How long will you keep straddling both sides of the fence, using your mouth to praise God on Sabbath and using that same mouth to cuss out your spouse and spreading false rumors? If God is God, it's time to line up and follow him. If Baal is God, then follow him. Now look what the book says. It says, and the people answered not a word. See, you didn't get that. It says everybody was on that mountain. And Elijah issues a challenge that was very clear. How long? Halt ye between two opinions. He says, now, if God is God, then decide to follow him, but do it all the way. Do it with all of your heart, your mind, your soul. If Baal is God, then, you know, stop straddling the fence and just see. You know, it's a hard road to go to hell from the church. That's a long way to hell. Why in the world you want to live in hell and then go to hell too? And you're doing it from the church. That's why we got to get serious about this thing. Come on and say it out there. That's why I said that there's a whole lot of people in church. They got their roles on the membership, and yet their hearts are not connected to Jesus Christ. Now you got to get this. If God be God, follow him. If Baal be God, follow him. And their answer, watch this, no answer. No answer. The first thing before the fire falls is that I see from this text, it's very clear, that the devil will share you. But the second thing from this text is that the devil will, here it is, he will attempt to silence you. Because the Bible says the issue of the challenge was given by the prophet. And the answer to the challenge was that nobody said a word. Because the enemy is attempting, before the fire falls, hallelujah, he will try to silence you. And I looked at this and I scratched my head. And all the people of Israel were up on that mountain. And they were supposed to be the people of God, God's chosen. And I looked at this text and I began to literally ponder this text, and I said, this is mind-blowing. You mean to tell me in the entire nation, not one spoke out or stood up for God? Because the Bible says nobody said anything. And you got to look at the historical context, because there was a whole lot of false gods, and rumors had gone out about the true and living God, that he was dead, that he really didn't care about us, that he was evil, that he was a weak God. And his people, who should have known better and should have used this opportunity, they did not open up their mouths to defend the true and living God. And the problem was, listen to me, that their lives were so messed up, dancing back and forth, trying to fit in with the world, trying to be politically correct. Their lives were so messed up, dancing back and forth in God today and for the devil tomorrow, in the church one day, in the world the next day, that when it was time for them to stand up for the one who had blessed them and had given them everything, that they were silent. Not one person said, hey, Elijah, you don't have to worry about me. I got your back. I'm going to praise God. I'm going to stand for God. I'm going to make sure that I hold on to his unchanging hand. Not one person said, oh, Elijah, I'm on God's side. I am clearly. The Bible says that nobody said anything. And I know one of the Bible scholars of this great church is going to snatch me and say, well, you know, I thought about that thing too, Dr. Peter. And the reason was that they did not say anything was that they were waiting for a miracle. No, because first of all, look at the context. The challenge had not yet been given. And number two, miracles, this crowd had already seen miracles. Yeah. This was the crowd, listen to me, who had already seen God deliver them from the Egyptian bondage. They had seen God rain down plagues on their enemies. They had seen God split the Red Sea. They had seen God feed them every day with manna, and then on Fridays, he gave a double portion because he didn't come on Sabbath, because he was resting in glory. Come on and say it out there. They had seen miracles. miracles. Yeah, it's the same crowd that had seen God sweeten the bitter waters of Marah and bring water from a rock and gave them clothes and shoes that didn't wear out for years. Yeah, they had seen miracles. What else did they need? But the problem was their lives were so divided that when it was time for them to shout their assurance and their satisfaction with God, they were silent. What happens before the fire falls? The devil wants to silence you. Now remember. The prophet of God was on a hill in a contest and a showdown against 450 prophets of Baal. And the issue had been given. And when the challenge given, I'm sure Elijah in the back of his mind thought he would get a few amens from his folks. And I looked at that as a preacher and as an evangelist. You mean to tell me not one person stood up after all that God had done for them? I asked myself a question. How in the world could they be silent? And I got a little uppity, and I began to get a little judgmental on this crowd. And in the middle of my judgmental attitude, the Holy Ghost convicted me. He said, well, Peter, they didn't stand up for me. They didn't shout for me. They did not claim me, but I got a better question for you. After all that I've done for you, how can you keep silent? After all that he's done for you, how can you keep silent? But I have a better question after God convicted me, because I came here to ask my friends here in Bakersfield, after all that he blessed you with, how can you keep silent? After you've seen all the things that he's done in your life, how in the world can you keep silent? When you look back over your shoulder and see how God has brought you from a mighty long way, how can you keep silent? When you see the dams that he's brought you through, how can you keep silent? When the enemy has had you in the very grips of his power and God came and snatched you out of the hand of the enemy, how can you keep silent? When the enemy put a wall in front of you and God made you a door that no man can shut, how can you keep silent? When God keeps making a way out of no way, how can you keep silent? When God has allowed you to walk through the Red Sea in your life, how can you keep silent? When God keeps letting you feed your meals and put food on your table and clothes on your back, how can you keep silent? When God has brought you to another point where you can have another revival, how can you keep silent? When God has allowed the noble, wretched, bound for hell souls, when I look at the greatness of Jesus and all that he's done for me, my soul cries out, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Somebody ought to shout amen. I can't stop praising his name. I'm not going to be silent. God's been too good for me. Somebody ought to shout amen. What the problem was is that the people, listen, had a bad memory problem. That's just like us. They literally had a case, what I like to call, of the forgetteries. They had amnesia. And the problem is, in church, some of you have had a bad case of the forgetteries. Some of us have forgotten how God has blessed us and forgotten how he has saved us and brought us and taught us and clothed us and cleansed us. But if you just look back and remember, you will be able to see the fire fall in your life. What happens before the fire falls? Number one is that the enemy will try to share you.
But number two, the enemy will try to silence you. And number three, and finally, watch this. The ultimate goal of the enemy is this. Is that he literally tries to shame God by getting to you. Let me break it down. Have you ever wondered why it is that when you make up your mind to really get serious about the Lord, have you ever wondered why it seems like all hell breaks loose? Anybody but me didn't have a clue? And you think that the enemy, watch this, is really, really impressed about you, or that he, it ain't about you. It really not. Now, let me just break this down. When you are in the natural or in the carnal nature, there's only one nature that is controlled. Okay. Before, here it is, before you accept Jesus Christ, we are born in sin and shaped in iniquity. Now watch this. So the nature that you are born with is a natural or carnal nature. But now, since you said yes to the Lord, watch this, you have been born again. And now there are two natures that are warring against one another. The spiritual nature and the natural or the carnal nature. They do war on a daily basis. Now the enemy, watch this, he literally moves in the third dimension. And when in fact he sees now the Spirit of God living in you because you have invited Jesus into your life, he gets angry, not because of who you are, but because of who is now living in you. Okay? And so now he is doing war with the person that has made residence in your life. That's why, watch this, before, you got to get this, before you were born again and had two natures that were battling. Yeah. Before, you could lie and then go get a Big Mac and sleep like a baby. Right. Why? Because there was not a war going on. You could cheat and sleep just as good. You didn't have a conscience. Why? Because of the fact that you only had one nature. But now, watch this. When you have a spiritual nature and a carnal nature that is warring, and notice now, the one that you feed the most is the one that grows. And when you feed the spirit, watch this, the flesh begins to die. But if you feed the flesh, the spirit begins to die. And that's why it says you got to put on the whole armor of God. That's why you got to watch what you put in your mind. Come on and say that. That's why you got to watch what you listen to with your ears. That's why you got to watch what you say with your mouth. Why? Because of the fact that spiritual things are fed with spiritual things. Yes. Okay? So you got to get this. Here it is, the devil sees the Spirit of God in you, and he rages war. Why? Because he knows that he has but a short time. Yes. And so now you thinking that the enemy thinks you're all of that in a bag of chips. Oh, the enemy is whooping my behind. Yeah, he is, but it's really not about you, but it is the God in you that he is mad at. That's why you got to understand this whole concept of spiritual warfare. It's not about you. You're there. He's glad that he messed you up. That's why he can share you. And that's why he works hard to silence you. But the bottom line, he ultimately, because of the hatred and the venom that he sees the God that is within you, watch this, he wants to shame God by getting to you. Why? Watch this. When you say I do, here it is, to Jesus, you are now a Christian. You are Christian. In other words, you are now married to God, and now, watch this, you have taken on his name. You are wearing the name. When they were baptized today, when they said yes to them, they are now officially Christians. You are taking on the name of Jesus. Okay? You're married now to the Son of God, to the Prince of Peace. You are now a Christian. You are Christian. So everybody likes to talk about being a Christian. What you're saying is, now I am wearing the name of God. I am married to Christ.
Yeah.
Ah, here it is. And when, in fact, you get to the point that understand the serious nature of wearing the name of Christ, watch this. When we fall or when we slip or when we playing church or we're dancing both sides, what happens is the enemy will now say that God is unjust and God is unfair, because here we are supposed to be married to God. The enemy who operates in the third dimension, when we slip, when we fall, when we are playing God for a chunk by our dualistic lifestyles, the enemy says, hey, Pastor Peter, he's supposed to be married to you. He's wearing your name. How is this fair? You kicked me out of heaven. How's it fair? And so when we fall, watch this, he literally tries to shame God by pointing out the deficiencies in us. Now watch what's happening. Elijah issues a challenge, and now 450 prophets of Baal. 400 other people of religious order. I'm sure they had their robes and their regalia. I'm sure they had all of the vestitures with their names printed. And they began to build their altar. And the altar was elaborate. Watch this. And the Bible says that when the altar was finished, it was morning time. And they began to call on the name of Baal. 450 prophets. Baal, we come to you this morning. And Baal, oh Baal, well, Baal, send down fire. Bell, send down fire. Was so full of the Holy Ghost and so confident that the Bible says that as they began to call on the name of Baal, he's sitting on a rock and he got his legs crossed and he started clowning them in the name of Jesus. And he said, maybe your God has gone on vacation. Maybe your God is out relieving himself. Maybe your God is asleep. And he was so confident in his God that literally he challenged. See, you got to understand, it does not matter who your adversaries and opposition is. One person who is full of the Holy Ghost can do anything that God wants them to do. It does not matter your opposition. That's why you can stand in the anointing and the power of God. Somebody ought to say amen out there. And there he is, there he is, there he is. He's sitting there, and he's there. And after they begin to call on God, it says that they begin to dance around the altar. Oh, Baal, send down fire. Oh, Baal, send down fire. Oh, Baal, send down fire. And they dance around the altar. After they dance, no fire from heaven. They tried to gather the sympathies, watch this, from their God. And they began to cut themselves, and blood was flowing everywhere. They were shouting, and they were crying, and they were moving. They were crying and moving and shouting. They were cutting and shouting and moving. And they did it for over 6 hours, 450, around and around and around and around and around and around. Send down, down fire. And now in complete exhaustion, they finished, and there was no fire that came down from heaven. And there was no sound that they heard from heaven. And as after they had danced as hard as they could dance, and after they had prayed as hard as long as they could pray, and when they had done all that they could do and sacrificed all that they could sacrifice and marched around their altar from morning to noon, and now there is early evening, then it was God's turn now. I declare the fire falls when the devil had his chance and he missed. See, the fire will fall, somebody better get with me, when the devil, the enemy, the adversary hits you with everything he can find. But when he got through with hitting you with everything he can find, he still sees you standing.
Yeah.
That's when the fire falls. It's when he throws at you everything but the kitchen sink. And now he still sees you standing. That's when the fire falls. You know the devil tried his best to kill you. You know the devil tried his best to make you quit and to steal your joy. But then he missed and the fire falls. He had his chance to take you out, but he missed it. He sent disappointment. He sent despair. He sent despondency. He sent dis-ease. He sent disenchantment. He sent disgust. He sent dishonor. He sent distractions. He just dissed you. But he dissed you and he missed you. Then the fire fell. He took your friends. He took your loved ones. He took away your reputation. He took all your money. He hit you with everything he had. You had to spend some lonely nights. You had to have some tear-stained nights. You wondered what in the world was God going to come through. But when he finished hitting you with all that he could do, that's when God stepped in right on time. And God said, I'll handle it from here, baby mama. The devil may have told a lie on you, but I will tell the truth on him. Watch out, child of God, today. I have a word for you right now. And I declare in this house that it's God's time now. The devil had his chance, and he missed you. He thought he was about to count you out, but he missed you. He thought he was about to close the curtain on your life, but he missed out. Look out, saints. Here comes God. You didn't think that you were going to make it. You were ready to throw in the towel. But look out, saints. It's God's time now. You did your best, but people were still wagging their tongues. Look out, saints, today. It's God's time now. You may have tears in your eyes. Your knees may get weak. You may get tired of the journey, but it's God's turn now. And somebody ought to praise God now in this house for all that he's done for you. You know these last months of your life has been a living hell, but I declare right now that God is snatching the devil off of your back, lifting him up by the throat. Get back under my feet, Satan. It's my turn now. It's my time to bless him. It's my time to heal him. It's my time to deliver him. It's my time to pull him out. It's my time to provide. It's my time to save him. The devil tried to hit you with everything he had. Put you in the hospital. to stand up today. I declare that God will surround us. And you know what I'm glad of? I'm so glad that in the Adventist church that somebody is discovering that if the Lord has rescued you, somebody ought to say so. If the Lord has brought you from a mighty long way, somebody ought to say something. If the Lord has helped you to raise those children, somebody ought to say something. If the Lord has opened up doors for you, and nobody can shut, somebody ought to say something. If the Lord has been a bridge over troubled waters, somebody ought to say something. Who cares how plentiful you are? Praise God. Who cares how sophisticated you are? Praise God. Who cares how many degrees you have? Praise God. Who cares what side of the track that you live on? You better praise God. Because when you got tears, and beat up under your chin, and the Lord wipes every tear from your eyes, praise Him. Praise Him. Praise Him. Praise Him. Praise Him in the morning. Praise Him in the new day. Praise Him when the sun goes down. And you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to praise God on credit. That means I'm going to praise Him now, and He'll bless me later. I'm going to give a sacrifice of praise now, and He's going to praise and bless me later. And so right now, we just started March today. And I got up this morning, and I praise God for March's blessing. I praise God in advance for April's blessing. I praise God in advance for May's blessing. I praise God in advance for June and July. July and August. August and September. October, November. And December. I say, Lord, I'm going to praise you already. I'm going to praise you now. Just be sure to bless me later. They got so good to me. I said, I'm not going to start for my blessings of 2014. I'm going to praise them now for the year 2015. Hey, praise God in advance. So I'm not going to wait.